If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today from his home state of Indiana. And, of course, I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, in the snowy state of Tennessee today. 3-4 inches on the ground here in Memphis today, and everything has come to a screeching halt. I must say it started out as rain yesterday afternoon, then turned over to sleet. And it was like a thunderstorm and then turned into a snowstorm. Kind of odd how that happened. It was really literally like a spring thunderstorm that then turned into a sleet storm and then into a snowstorm. And about 3-4 inches, the sleet banging against the window last night was a little eerie. I mean, usually, you know, it's sleet kind of gentle and you just kind of barely hear it. But last night it was not like that. It was like a hard rain against the window, but it wasn't rain at that point. It was sleet. It was almost kind of apocalyptic sounding. I hadn't heard that to that degree. Again, usually the little slight pin sounds or tings or of sleet. No, this was like hard rain against the window, but it wasn't rain. It was sleet. It was just like, wow. But it turned to snow, 3-4 inches on the ground here in Memphis. I don't know what they got in Nashville. I think they were going to get more in Nashville. But the dogs are loving it. The mini schnauzer has never seen this before. She's quite enthralled. And the big lab, April, loves it. And the kids made a snowman this morning, something they don't do in Tennessee very often. Kids are sledding. And the South makes a big deal out of this. I mean, because they just don't get to do this very often. But you have to be careful because you can get hurt. And sadly, one young man was killed in our last snowstorm sledding and hit a sign or something. So you can have fun, but you got to be careful where you're doing it. Because even having fun sledding can end up tragic. Let's see. Before we go to Dr. Whitcomb, what else do we have here? Oh, you know, someone commented today, Scott, who's one of our listeners that we're emailing with, that he noticed that what sounded like the clanging. I think what it was this, which was my coffee mug onto the saucer. I got a new microphone, if you can't tell, and it is much more sensitive. I even was listening back to a program the other day, and I drank some coffee, and you could hear me swallowing it. So it's a much more sensitive microphone. So you might be picking up room noises you're not used to, and I'm doing my best to get used to that and not make as much noise as I used to because the mic that I was on was not as sensitive as this, but this one's pretty sensitive. On another note, before we go to Dr. John, you know, I think it's so important that as we contend for truth, that we are happy warriors. That we're happy warriors. Folks, we have truth on our side. I love that song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, All Fear Is Gone. So, you know, it's so blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So many of these hymns that I love. I love these hymns. But we have truth on our side. And why is it that so many people who claim to defend truth, and some of them indeed do, but they're some of the most grouchy people? Let's be happy warriors. And that's one thing I appreciate about this audience. The people that email me that are contending for truth, they are happy in their emails. They say additional things about this or that that tell you this person is enjoying life. Yeah, there's some things that are serious, and we should take them seriously and be reverent when we discuss those things. But we can discuss truth without being contentious. We can discuss truth without being in a disagreeable way. We can discuss truth and still be happy warriors, don't you think? I guess that's one of the things I've noticed oftentimes in the discernment realm or the discernment world. Some of the people in the discernment world, I think what may be attracted to them to the discernment world is their love of fighting. You know what should attract us to the discernment world? The love of truth. What should attract us to being discerning Christians, and all of us should be discerning Christians. That's the hallmark of a Christian, right? Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, discerning. What should drive us to be involved in discernment isn't a love to pick a fight, but a love for truth. But I guess I'm just constantly shocked at emails and social media and how some people who claim to stand for truth, others who are standing for truth, just are cranky truth bearers. We don't want to be cranky truth bearers. Let's be happy warriors that defend truth for the sake of truth, not for the sake of personality, not for the sake of a good old boy club, not for the sake of, you know, winning an argument. Sometimes it's, I think people just fighting to win an argument because it's easier to fight and to try to win an argument than to yield. So I just impressed in the last few months, in the last few years, actually, as I've looked at certain social media sites and blogs, that it's so important that we're happy warriors. That we're happy warriors. I mean, that says a lot, don't you think? If you're enjoying life and happy, even in the midst of all that's going on, it's not all that positive and things that are happening. But if you can have the joy of the Lord and a happy countenance and a positive outlook on life, that says a lot about you, I think. It says a lot about your character. It says a lot about your testimony. And even, I think, sometimes spacing out what you talk about. I don't know if you notice here, friends, but one of the things we do here is we oftentimes space out what we talk about so that it's not, you know, the same kind of program every day, day in and day out, of something where we're, you know, exposing something that someone said. Like today, you know, we're talking about questions with Dr. John. Or yesterday's show, talking about a topic, persecution. But we looked at Scripture, didn't we? We talked about it from that perspective. So it's even important that we pace the program here in a way that doesn't cause us to get in a rut or in a certain kind of mood. And so I'm always aware of the tone that we set by what we say, how we say it, and even the topics that we discuss and how many days in a row we discuss certain types of topics. Because we don't want to be a bad influence on you. We want to be a positive influence on you. We don't want to be one contributing to a grumpy contender. We want you to be joyful contenders. We don't want contentious contenders. We want happy contenders. I think that's sometimes why it's important to say, okay, we've done that. Let's move to something different now. Something more, a little more bright and maybe not in the same vein. But others, they seem to just love to be in that contentious rut. And I have to question, what is their real motive? Is it truth? Or is it they just love to fight? They like to argue. They like to be involved in tail-bearing and twisting facts and splitting hairs. Because at the end of the day, I'm not so sure for some of them it's about truth. I think for some of them at the end of the day, it's just about who can we fight and argue with and debate with. Well, you know, that's what they make debate clubs for. Go join a debate club. But you're not doing truth any favor. When we are contentious warriors, we want to be happy warriors. So that's just kind of some thoughts I've had as I've watched some things unfold over the last couple of years. All right, let's go to Dr. John. Dr. Whitcomb, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, brother. It's always a joy to open God's Word and listen to Him speak to us about wonderful things He has done, is doing, and yet will do. God bless you.
Amen. All right, here's number one that folks have emailed in their questions to ask Dr. John. Number one, what are the best evidences of young earth creationism?
Well, I'm speaking as a former godless evolutionist who came to know the Savior of the world at Princeton University in 1953. And I have been amazed ever since, in these 70-plus years, at the things God has helped me to see and understand. Of course, from a scientific standpoint, we know from true science the impossibility of evolution. The second law of thermodynamics tells us everything is declining, deteriorating all over the universe. Nothing's evolving. The irreducible complexity of living things demands creation by a supernatural, infinitely wise God. The fossil record shows rapid deposition in the Genesis catastrophe of the deluge, which I have discussed with Henry Morris in our book, The Genesis Flood. But you see, the main evidence, let me be careful here. The main evidence for young earth creationism is God's own infallible, inerrant word. Exodus 20:11. Listen carefully. This is amazing. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. And I say, that's amazing. Just as the Jews were commanded to work 6 days and rest the seventh, God, in the same time units, six literal 24-hour days, created the whole universe. And I say, well, really? Well, look carefully, of course, at Genesis chapter 1. Evening and morning, day 1. Evening and morning, day 2. Those are 24-hour days. Secondly, look at the order in which things happen. My, the earth first, the sun, moon, and stars 4 days later. Trees first on the dry land, marine creatures later. The order is the opposite of what evolutionism would require. But perhaps most spectacular of all, the manner in which things were created. Full-grown, functioning, living things with a superficial appearance of history they didn't have. Full-grown trees, instantly created. Full-grown people, instantly created. We have discussed this at length in our book, The Early Earth, which may be of help to some, and we trust that you'll understand that God is very serious about this. He didn't take billions of years to bring this world and all of us into existence. Thank God for his power, his wisdom, and his word.
Absolutely. All right. Does a believer who dies receive a mansion? I like this one. Receive a mansion or only later following the rapture? John 14, 1 through 6.
Yes. Now listen carefully. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now listen carefully. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So you see, this doesn't happen when we die as believers. It happens when we're raptured, resurrected, and then for the dead, raptured for the living, could be today. At that moment, in the mercy of God, we will enter into the dwelling place that God has prepared for us from all eternity, that we might be with him in a special, wonderful, glorious way. So this, I think, follows the rapture, which could, I say, be even today. May you trust the Savior who died for you and rose again and paid the price that you and I could never pay, that we might be in that dwelling place with him in glory.
Absolutely. And in my Father's house are many mansions. That's a very interesting passage. I don't know how much you've studied that, Dr. John, but I understand that basically some theologians believe that it's not like everybody's got an individual mansion. We're actually living in my Father's house are many rooms. I've heard some theologians describe it. What do you think?
Yes, I think the idea is, well, the technical term is simply dwelling places. And we see that expression just about, or very rarely used in the New Testament, but it's, we may be sure of this, it'll be special. We won't be disappointed. We won't arrive there and say, oh no, we thought it'd be better than this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know Jesse Duplantis, one of the Word of Faith false teachers, says he went to heaven. Justin Peters talks about it on his TV show this week at WVWTV.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll see that. You can also get it on our app. And he says Jesse Duplantis, this Word of Faith false teacher, who claims he got sucked up into heaven. I think he went to heaven out of Arkansas. So maybe those of you who say that Arkansas is a little slice of heaven, maybe it is closer. I don't know. But he claims he got sucked up out of Arkansas into heaven and saw his mansion with the all the TBN gold style, you know, claw type furniture. No, folks, he didn't go there, and I don't think that's what he saw. We'll be right back.
Don't miss out on the 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. That is April 24th, 25th, and 26th. Not only will you hear great Bible teaching by 10 different men, but my dad will be sharing sermons through song. Did you not know my dad sang? Well, he traveled the country for many years singing in churches such as that of Dr. D. James Kennedy and Chuck Swindoll. Yep, that is my dad. And if you miss music that is theologically rich, then you will appreciate the music my father will be singing at the Branson Worldview Weekend. Marty Getz is back by popular demand, but this year he is joined by his daughter, Misha. Here is a sample of Marty's music.
To him, finishing what we've begun, let us run. Oh, is my shepherd, my shepherd.
So do not miss out on a great weekend of Bible teaching and truly worshipful music. You can register now at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. That is worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Or you can register by phone by calling 901-853-8792. 901-853-8792. You can also register by mail by getting our address from the website worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Join us in Branson, Missouri for a great Bible teaching and the music of my father and Marty and Misha Getz.
Welcome back. Glad you are with us. Dr. John is our guest. By the way, our Branson Worldview Weekend coming up April 24, 25, 26. And a lot of you are joining us. Last year, folks from 39 states. Looks like we're going to see that again. Folks from so many states coming from so far away. We'll mail out the tickets, which is a wristband, about 2 weeks before the conference. And if you want to register, you still can do so at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Folks, it's just an old-fashioned Bible conference. Imagine that. An old-fashioned Bible conference, and there'll be some singing, some group singing, some of those hymns I love that you love. There'll be some special music with Marty, who puts scripture to music. It's wonderful, and Marty and I always like to do a number or two together. So, but it's really just a Bible conference, and it's all ages, and that's what folks again last year were saying. How shocking to see young families there. All the way to grandparents. And that's the way it should be. And if for some reason you can't afford the ticket, but you can get there and spend a couple of nights on hotel, but the ticket price puts it over the top, even though we haven't raised the ticket price in 12 years, we have a scholarship program. And all you got to do is email us and put in the subject line, Branson Scholarship. And just say, hey, I need this many tickets, and here's my address. I can't afford it. You know what, folks? We trust you on that. We know that you wouldn't say that unless it was true. And we will send you the tickets in the mail. We don't want the dollar figure keeping anybody from being a part of this weekend. You know what? Sometimes people come back and say, I bought tickets this year. Last year I couldn't afford it. Was out of a job. This year I bought tickets. I got a job. Hey, thanks a lot for helping me out last year. Hey, glad to do it. That's the least we can do, right? So if that's your situation, no need to go into a lot of detail. Just say, if we could get some scholarship tickets, here's our address, here's how many. We'll put them in the mail to you. Glad to do that. Again, just email us, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. Put in the subject line, Branson Scholarship, and we'll add you to the list of people to get tickets put in the mail about 2 weeks before the conference. Otherwise, if you can register, you can do that at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Hotel information, everything there. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. The speakers, the lineup, going to be a great 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us. His website is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org, and you can also hear his Bible teaching each week on our website at WorldviewRadio.com, WorldviewRadio.com. I think he also airs, I don't know, when did we figure that was, Gordon? 7:30 Sunday morning, Central, 7:30 Sunday morning, Central Time, in VCYAmerica.org, and you can get their free app there as well at VCYAmerica.org, and of course our free app too at WVWTV.com/APP. All right, Dr. John, what does it mean to be delivered unto Satan, 1 Timothy 1:20?
Okay, that's not an easy one. Listen carefully. Paul wrote to Timothy and said this, keep the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, now listen carefully, whom I have delivered over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Now you see, that means they're believers. Otherwise, they would already have been in Satan. Now, what does it mean then? I have delivered them to Satan. It means he insists that they be excommunicated from the local church they belong to, back into Satan's world, that he might be able to deal with them in a drastic way physically, so that they be taught not to blaspheme anymore. Now, you say, well, what does this mean? Be very careful here. Remember what happened in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and dropped dead. That doesn't mean they lost their salvation. It means when they arrive, like all of us, at the judgment seat of Christ, they will lose their rewards, not their salvation. So these are very heavy things to deal with. We recognize that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, for example, chapter 5, verse 5, he said, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Now listen, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's to be excommunicated in order that he might be dealt with drastically and be therefore spared of eternal destruction. Now, you say, well, really? What does that mean? Well, listen how Paul deals with this in 2 Thessalonians. This is a challenge, dear friends. We admit this. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter to take special note of that man and do not associate with him, he should be excommunicated from the church so that he may be put to shame. Now listen, yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So here, this is very difficult for us to realize. Excommunication is rarely enforced today in our churches, sorry to say, because we don't care that much about people. I'm trying to be very careful how I say this. We want the best for people, don't we, in the light of eternity. We don't just coddle heretics and immorality and blasphemy. Christians, friends, are capable with the sin nature of terrible things. Every time we sin, we don't lose our salvation, have to be saved again. But we need to be disciplined in God's mercy to prepare us to meet the Lord. So I just say, be careful, friend, about this statement and understand the context in which it's made. To be delivered unto Satan means to be excommunicated from the church and therefore disciplined even unto death, that in eternity we might not suffer as we would otherwise. And I say thank you, Lord, for your mercy, but help us to be prepared to face these challenging, sometimes frightening situations with brothers and sisters in Christ.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. John. Number four, how will there continue to be nations in eternity future? And the caller is, I guess, citing the emailer is citing Revelation 21, verse 4, Revelation 21, 26, Revelation 22, verse 2.
Yes. Nations in eternity future. Not just Jews understand, but Gentiles. So when you turn to Revelation 21, 12, you read this. This New Jerusalem has a great high wall with 12 gates, and the names are written on them are the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. That's Israel. Glorified Israel will have a distinct function and identity in the eternal state. Number two, listen to verse 14 now. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That's the church. The church will have distinctive identity and function also in the eternal state. But what about these nations? Well, we go on in Revelation and read this amazing statement in verse 24. And the nations will walk by the light of that of the Lamb, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, that is, into Jerusalem. They'll bring their glory and the honor of the nations into it, verse 26. And that means, of course, that there'll be three distinct groups of human beings in the eternal state glorified. There's the church, there's Israel, and their nations. And I say, that's amazing. These three distinct groups that have always, well, in the past, in thousands of years ago, of course, we know before even the Genesis flood, there were nations, weren't there? Then, of course, came after the flood, Israel. And then came 2,000 years ago, the church. These three distinct groupings will be perpetuated even in glory, yes, forever.
Thank you, Dr. John. All right, the next one. Let's see, verse 5. Point five, is there a difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yes, a huge difference. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus predicted, you remember in Acts 1:5, he said, not many days from now, that was 10 days before, after his ascension, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And that is described, of course, in the following chapter, Acts 2. Now, that is something that happens the minute a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes a member of the body and bride of Christ. And that is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit bringing us into the body and bride of Christ. Now, when, of course, Peter refers back to that in Acts 11:15. He's describing something that happened back there on the day of Pentecost when Spirit baptism occurred. Well, then, what's the filling of the Spirit then? What does that mean? Well, friends, that takes place throughout our Christian life, hopefully. I say hopefully, because it doesn't necessarily happen to all Christians. They're not wanting this. They're not asking for this. But listen to Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. What does that involve? Salvation? No. You're already saved. You're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, but now this is something different. Speaking with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You see, that's something that should be experienced, asked for, trusted for every day we live, that we might be controlled by the Holy Spirit in a special way, which is being filled with his power and his love and his direction that we desperately need to live a full, God-honoring Christian life that will attract people to our Savior.
Amen. All right, here's the next one. My husband, and we'll get started on this one. We had a break coming up here. But my husband and I attend a Bible study in addition to our church. A new couple in our group attends a church with a woman pastor. If we do not confront the situation, are we endorsing it with our silence?
That is not an easy one.
None of them are.
Well, of course, the Bible is very clear about the fact that a woman is not to be a pastor. By the way, that's not disrespectful to women. We know many women who love the Lord. And I hate to say this, some women know more about the Bible than the pastors that they sit under in local churches. So that's not the issue. The issue is a is an order that God has established not only in our churches but in our homes. The husband is to be the head of the wife, not that he's more intelligent or more spiritual. This is a reflection, you see, of the order of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the local church, the pastor is to be a man, who, of course, has to have spiritual qualities, yes. But you see, when you look carefully at this and realize, 1 Corinthians 14 also in verse 34
here, says... I'm going to have you hold it right there because I don't want the audience to miss anything. We'll be right back with Dr. John Whitcomb.
If you want to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, get answers to important Bible questions, or be involved in intensive Bible study and research, then check out situationroom.net/join. You can now join for just $7.99 a month and have instant access to the radio and television programs of Brannon House, Mike Gendron, Mike Abendroth, Mike Riddle, Justin Peters, John Whitcomb, Jimmy DeYoung, Jesse Johnson, Susan Heck, Chris Pinto, John Leffler, T.A. McMahon, Michael John Beasley, David Farnell, and Tommy Eich. Many of these programs are exclusive to the Situation Room and are produced and or distributed by Worldview Weekend from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. So why not go to situationroom.net/join right now and look at what is waiting for you as a member. This is broadcast quality, biblically sound, on-demand content for the entire family. Situationroom.net/join. Join now, and we'll send you 20 Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for becoming a member or for renewing your membership. That's $300 in free DVDs shipped to you free of charge when you join at situationroom.net/join.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio. Our guest is Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. WhitcombMinistries.org. For those of you who are brand new, don't know about his ministry, I hope you'll check out his website. He'll be 91 in June and is still preaching and teaching. 91 in June, right, Dr. John?
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. You were going to, before the break there, you were starting to talk about this question. My husband and I attend a Bible study in addition to our church. A new couple in our group attends a church with a woman pastor. If we do not confront this situation, we're endorsing it with our silence. And I think you started off into Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, when we had to go to the break.
Yeah. Now, you see, it's very interesting. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Now, that doesn't mean that women can't teach in a Sunday school class, for example, or a women's class, but they're not to exercise authority over men in the local church. Now, the question this person asked, however, is a little bit different than that. If we do not confront this situation, are we endorsing it with our silence? Now, that's not in a local church, you see. That's just in this little Bible class they attend outside of the church. Now, you see, you have to be careful here. You don't just go plunging in and condemning people for what they're doing. If you're in a local, if that person belongs to your church, of course, the pastor is to deal with it. But can you, in your neighborhood, in your family, in a little group meeting or so forth, confront that person? Be careful. We need to win their respect, don't we? We need to be gracious, patient, prayerful, loving, kind, so that they may sit down and say, now, we're ready to listen to you now. We respect you. We honor what your Christian life and testimony. What does the Bible say about this? Then you have a wonderful opportunity to open the Scriptures, as we've seen, and explain these things graciously and carefully, and therefore I trust with effect and help.
Excellent. I love how you said that. Now we're ready to listen. You've earned the respect. You've earned the right to be heard, if you will.
Right.
I love that. And it's so interesting how people that don't know you, never have taken the time to get to know you, never have encouraged you in any way, but as soon as they find something to slap you down with, there they are. Uh-huh. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. The friend comes along and says the same thing, and of course you listen because they're your friend. They've been there, they've proven their friendship, they've earned your respect.
Yes.
And I think that's so important that we do that with people. Same thing with our pastors or an elder or a Bible Sunday school teacher. You may come into a church and hear something and think, oh, that's not right. And I encourage people, get to know them first. Take them to dinner. Encourage them. Minister to them. And then when you have something to say, they're going to be prone to listening because they know, hey, this person actually has gone out of their way to be gracious to me, to encourage me, to support me. They picked up the check at dinner. You know, they remembered my birthday, sent me a birthday card. This is a caring person, not just a contentious, cranky contender. So that's very good wisdom there, Dr. Whitcomb. Thank you. All right, here's another one. Today I engaged in a conversation with a very troubled young man I've known since his childhood. He is so angry and challenging and trying to shock me with his claims of magical power, spiritual practice, and bad language. I kept calm, telling him that Jesus is God, that I believe in Jesus as my Lord, that Jesus is the only one who can help us. Should a Christian just go ahead and say, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan," when we suspect someone needs that? I do believe this man could be possessed.
Okay, here's something we need to also be extremely careful about. We, today, at this stage of church history, we can't say this kind of thing that could have been said in the early church on rare occasions. We don't know how many people, which people, are possessed by demons, by Satan. We don't see how many they are, how we can't, you know, we don't see that. But we say, Lord, this person seems to be very needful of spiritual help. He may be possessed by a demon. I don't know how many demons there are, what their names are, whether he's really possessed or not, but I know there's a spiritual problem here. So, you know, we don't... Here's something that's been very encouraging to me. James, you remember the half-brother of Jesus? In chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You don't rebuke him, you resist him. You deny his dominion over your life, his temptations that are frequent and sometimes powerful. Resist him. By doing what? Naming him? No, submitting to God. You see, friends, this is something that is very, very problematic today. We just don't talk to Satan and talk to demons. We just say, Lord, help me to honor you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. And therefore, we can say in Jesus' name, whatever this person has by way of a spiritual problem, trust the Lord Jesus. Put your hope and faith in him. Obey his word. And Satan and demons will do what? They'll flee from you. James 4:7. Draw near to God, he said, and he will draw near to you. So we don't go around naming demons and naming Satan. We just say, Lord Jesus, help me to lovingly, prayerfully, humbly confront people in the light of the word of God, and Satan will leave. He'll leave me, he'll leave them, and I will have victory. And I say, well, thank you, Lord. That makes it so much simpler. I don't have to get involved with all this kind of charismatic kind of confrontation. And I say, just help me to do what you do, what you've told me to do in your precious word, the Bible.
Amen. All right, Dr. Whitcomb. And by the way, folks, let me say this. If you would like to have Dr. John answer your question, of course, you can call into the program. We open the phone lines up. Some of you can't do that. Scott, before we went on the air, said, I've got VCY on. I'm listening. A lot of times I listen the day after, but today I'm streaming VCY. Well, some days they're streaming and they can call in. Some days they listen to a podcast on our website. And so some of you, because you're good employees and you want to be a good witness, you don't take company time to call into a program. That's not what you're there to do. That's not what you're being paid to do. And so you can't call in. So we want to, or you just don't want to call in because you don't want to be on live radio. But we want you to be able to take part. And so if you want to email in your questions, you can do so by just emailing us info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. And then please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. That big letters, Ask Dr. John. We get so many hundreds of emails. I got to be able to find them and then forward them on to Dr. John. So info@worldviewweekend.com and then subject line, Ask Dr. John. All right? You'll find them there. You'll find it. You send it to us, we'll find it, and we'll forward it on to them there. All right, here's the next one. Number seven. No, it's number eight. What will happen to Israel in the current crisis with Iran? Well, I guess if you knew that, Dr. John, you'd be a prophet, wouldn't you?
Oh, my. We're all terrified of these things. The leader of Iran, you remember, recently said, there is no such thing as Israel. And then, then amazingly, in contradiction, we're going to wipe you off the map. An Israeli diplomat replied, well, how can you wipe us off the map if we're not even here? This awful hatred to Israel on the part of Iranians and others around Muslim nations. Now, the Bible predicts this. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 38. Gog from Magog coming down from the north, the king of the north against Israel in the middle of the tribulation period. It says this, and with him will come whom? Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, all of them with shield and helmet against the people of Israel. Verse 8. Now, friends, this is not easy. Halfway through the 70th week of Daniel, there'll be an enormous invasion of Israel from the north. And you can almost see it happening now, can't you, with Russia, Vladimir Putin preparing Russia to move down, you know, through the Ukraine and soon, of course, through Turkey and down to attack Israel. Those things won't happen immediately. They'll happen probably about three or four years after the rapture, 3.5 years to be precise. And that all those complex events we've had the privilege of discussing in our book, The Rapture and Beyond, we hope that'll be of interest and help to you, friends, and also many of our CD sets and DVD sets that we have available in Whitcomb Ministries dealing with second coming events. And I just say, Lord, it's coming soon. It's coming soon. Help us to be ready to realize the rapture is about to happen. And the 70th week of Daniel, the great tribulation will begin when all these awful things will happen, especially focusing on Israel.
Mm. And even if you say the rapture is about to happen, that's 100 years from now. That would be in the about-to-happen category, would it not?
Yes, especially since one day with the Lord is just 1,000 years.
Yeah, he's not bound by time, is he?
Amen.
All right, number nine. Can Jews be saved without believing in Jesus? Well, I know the answer to that one, but I think John Hagee might need to hear the answer to this because we have an audio of him saying something pretty much to that effect. But go ahead, Dr. John.
Well, of course, it's obvious in the New Testament that the Jews who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ were lost. So that's a tragedy. But listen to the detailed discussion of this in Romans 11, verse 11. I say then that they did not stumble as to fall, did they? That's Israel isn't going to be wiped out forever because they rejected Jesus. May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them zealous. And so the transgression, the rejection of the Jews of Jesus resulted in what? They were broken off from the tree of divine blessing, verse 17. Now, when you come down through this chapter, chapter 11 of Romans, over and over, God has broken those branches off. The Jews are no longer God's people today as a nation. Now, listen carefully. Don't give up, though, on God's promise to Israel. He said, I don't want you to be, brethren, uninformed. Chapter 11, verse 25 of Romans. I don't want you to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and thus all Israel will be saved, just as is written. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's an amazing thing, friends. The nation of Israel will return to the Lord and accept Jesus as their Savior, the Messiah, through the preaching of the two witnesses, according to Revelation chapter 11 and other passages. 144,000 of them, in fact, will become evangelists, missionaries to the whole world. And that's a marvelously complex, beautiful discussion that that God unveils to us through many chapters of the New Testament, and frankly, two of the Old Testament, where they'll be redeemed by God and experience His mercy, yes, and His glory in that coming day.
All right, folks, phone lines now open for you to ask Dr. John. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. We'll be right back with your questions as you get on board to ask Dr. John.
Do you want to take Worldview Radio and WVW-TV with you on the go? Then download our free radio and television app at wvwtv.com/app. That's wvwtv.com/app. This app is a broadcast ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation. Tell your friends about our free app at wvwtv.com/app. Our app also includes news and articles from a Christian perspective. Download our app now at wvwtv.com/app and begin benefiting from more than 18 biblically sound radio and television programs, of which most are produced from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Together, we can defend and proclaim a biblical worldview.
The 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend is coming up April 24, 25, and 26. And as always, it's 100% new material. This year's speakers will include Dr. John MacArthur. Dr. John MacArthur will be speaking on Friday night and taking questions live from the audience. We'll also have Jesse Johnson. Tommy Ice will be with us for the first time. Henry Morris of Institute for Creation Research. Justin Peters, Mike Gendron, Usama Dakdok, Jared Carlson, and Mike Abendroth. Again, 100% new material each and every year. Last year, we've had people attend from 39 states. 39 states you came from last year to beautiful Branson, Missouri, which is very centrally located in the beautiful rolling hills of the Ozarks. If you want to register online so you can have priority seating, then you need to register now. Priority seating fee had. If you register now at worldviewweekend.com/Branson, worldviewweekend.com/Branson, or you can send a check. You'll find our mailing address at worldviewweekend.com/Branson, worldviewweekend.com/Branson, if you prefer to send a check. If you want to register via the phone using a credit card, the number is 901-853-8792, 901-853-8792, again, 901-853-8792, or again, just register online at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. You'll find all the details, hotels, schedules, speakers, all you need is there at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Bring the whole family. It's easily a vacation with a purpose that is going to be enjoyed by young people all the way to senior adults. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Be sure to stay tuned for Crosstalk after the news at the top of the hour. America's original Christian talk program on about 100 stations nationwide. Crosstalk, your chance to discuss the issues of the day from a biblical Christian perspective. Crosstalk. All right, we're going to go to the phone calls here. Just 1 minute. Quick answer, Dr. John. Someone says here they want to know about, you know, there being other planets, and there's all these programs about spaceships and aliens and mysteries of the pyramids and Stonehenge and Hedge and drawings by the Egyptians and other cultures depicting beings from the heavens. Where did these come from, and why are they here? Could these people have seen angels of Genesis 6, 1 through 4?
Yes, of course, those things are not happening today. In Genesis chapter 6, those were demons that dominated men, that dominated evil women and brought horrible spiritual disaster that ultimately brought the flood. That is not happening today. And so what is happening today? Psalm 115, verse 16, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. So you see, there are no physical living beings with intelligence and a spiritual nature anywhere in the universe other than human beings on this planet. And that is an amazing reality, isn't it? We speculate there are people on Mars or people somewhere else, but God says no, only on this planet are there living beings. And that's why, according to Isaiah 45:18, Jesus came to this planet, because this is the only place in the universe where there are intelligent people that have souls and spirits made in his likeness and image that need the Savior. And I say thank you, God, for the mercy you've shown to us in coming all the way to this planet 2,000 years ago to die for us on that cross and rise from the dead that we might be saved by your grace forever.
Absolutely. And, of course, Genesis 6 happened before the flood, so that the drawings and depictions can't be that because they would have been destroyed in the flood. So there you go. Let's go to Linda, line one in Des Moines. Linda, thanks for calling in, Linda.
Hi, Brandon. Thank you, Dr. John. My question is kind of comes from Leviticus 11, where God is kind of laying out instructions for them. And he, at one point, tells them not to touch carcasses, but then when he's giving them instructions in other areas of how to do sacrifices, and then they're sprinkling blood all over, like the altars and different places, can you kind of tell me what the difference is between, like, how one of them is unclean, but the other one, he's telling them to do that?
That's a very complex question, Linda. Could you please email me your question so that I'll have time to investigate it and give an appropriate answer.
Okay.
Very good question. Thank you, Linda, for your interest in our discussions.
Okay,
Linda,
thank you.
You got my email in, Linda. Just send it on, type it up, and I'll send it on to Dr. John, info@worldviewweekend.com. Good question. And
okay.
Thank you, Dr. John, for being willing to investigate that. I love that. He says, you know what, let me investigate that. You see, folks, we don't always have to have the answer right now, do we? It's okay to say, I need to research that, and I'll get back to you. But well done. All right, let's go to, it's a sign of humility. Line two, Aaron from Minnesota. Aaron, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead. Hi, Aaron.
Yep.
Go right ahead.
I think you already answered my question that I had about, well, in the first part of Job, it says, the sons of God came to present themselves before God. And so somebody said, told me that, this would mean that maybe there's other planets where, that because Adam is a son of God, so maybe there's other Adams on other planets that are sons of God.
Yeah. Well, the scripture doesn't support that, as Dr. Whitcomb laid out. There's no scripture out there that there is intelligent life on another planet, and that Jesus died for them too, or had to go die for them. There's just no evidence there. I mean, we could just speculate all day long, but again, we can't speculate a biblical worldview. It's got to come from the Bible, and that's not in the Bible. But yeah, hopefully you got on board. I think the question was already answered, as you said. So thank you for listening, Aaron. Let's go to Mary. Mary, line three. Thanks for calling in, Mary. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I listened to a Prophecy in the News person who believes that in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, that God's wrath will break the bow of Elam, and Elam is where the Bushehr nuclear plant is built. And when they were constructing that in 2011, they had an earthquake. They have that site has three tectonic plates, and I'm wondering, with Iran's 90% seismic activity in the world, could God intervene and cause an earthquake to make this nuclear site blow up?
Oh, sure, God could do that. Yeah, absolutely, he could do that, but I don't know if he's going to. Dr. John?
I'm sorry again, I apologize. I could not understand that question.
All right. It was about, I think I answered it, but Mary, yes, I mean, God can do that if he wanted to, and there will be lots of earthquakes that are worldwide, and much of the earthquakes described in Matthew 24 are not regional, and that's why people start quoting scripture out of Matthew 24, which is right before the second coming, and they want to say, oh, what this happened over here was an earthquake, God caused that. Well, God allowed it. But sometimes it's just a shifting of the tectonic plates. But when God starts causing earthquakes to occur, they're not going to be just regional. Matthew 24 seems to be describing global earthquakes that are of a global nature. And yes, he could certainly cause that to happen, to cause something to happen to protect Israel or just to deal with Iran. God could do that if he so chose. Yes. So what
that
was
in the passage of Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39. So
let me give that to me again.
Oh, that would be really great.
Yeah, give me that again. Jeremiah what?
49, verse 34 through 39. If God will break the bow of Elam, that's on that Bushehr nuclear plant.
Okay. Dr. John, we'll email that one to you for the next program, Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39. And Mary, if you get a chance, email that to me too so I make sure I get the exact question that you're wanting to have answered. Let's go quickly to Aaron, another Aaron, this one in Madison, Wisconsin. Aaron, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. John, Brother Grant, for taking my call.
Yeah.
Does the devil, Lucifer, know the Bible? He quotes it when he tempts Jesus, so I'm wondering, does the devil actually know everything that's written in the Bible?
Good question. Dr. John, does Satan know the Bible by heart?
No. Yes and no. He knows what it says, but he doesn't believe it. That's the point. And I say, Lord, help me to know your word and believe it. That's the infinite difference. So Satan knows many, many things about me. He accuses the brethren night and day, in fact. And I say, thank you, Lord, that you have interceded for me. And someday, of course, in the middle of the tribulation, we know that Satan will be cast out and he will no longer accuse us before the Father.
Absolutely.
So there's an infinite difference, isn't it, between the way Satan knows things and the way God's people know things.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. John. His website is WhitcombMinistries.org. Take care, folks.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
My name is Mike Abendroth, host of No Compromise Radio Ministry, and I want you to know that I'm thrilled to be on this network and on Worldview Radio. If you have benefited from this ministry or other ministries, would you consider a deductible contribution so we can continue the free broadcast ministry and radio ministry, television ministry at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. worldviewweekendfoundation.com.